You're listening to the Food and Farming podcast from AHDB, farming news and stories from across the UK.
Stephen Thompson, from today, I take home really is about staff, and I thought staff retention and what you can do to keep staff and get staff onto the farm was a really interesting point.
And the whole event, what do you think about the event?
Overall, it's been marvellous, really. There's so many different technical presentations and different information about what's happening in this country and also what's happening around the world and pork markets and what's coming and how other people are struggling to the same extent we are. It's very interesting to know that globally, the pig market is affecting everybody.
Okay. Angus Smith, I found Paul's talk on staff retention very interesting, and his 10 tips of evaluating you, how you are at looking after your staff, extremely interesting, and that's something I can take home to look to improve going forward.
You've just listened to some views from the audience at the conference that were recorded by the podcast producer Dammy. Hello. Welcome to the Food and Farming podcast from AHDB. Thanks for listening. Rearing livestock is a challenging and rewarding job with high standards of care and welfare for the animals. Good training and supervision are critical to ensure people, individual businesses and the industry succeeds. There are lots of trends and innovations shaping the world of agriculture too. I'm John Bates, and in today's episode, we'll be exploring the labour aspect of pig farming and its influence on working towards a more sustainable future. Leicestershire recently played host to the Pigs Tomorrow conference, an event that brought together pig producers, experts and researchers for what I am told were two remarkable days. The conference served as a platform to address key challenges and explore innovation within the global pig farming industry. The conference revolved around three crucial pillars: building consumer trust, reducing the carbon footprint in pig farming, and engaging the next generation. On day two of the event, AHDB, the Agriculture and Horticulture Development Board, played a significant role in organising speaker sessions that focused on consumer trends, marketing strategies, supply chain management, labour, and the future of the industry. Joining us on the podcast are people who played active roles in the Pigs Tomorrow conference. Dr. Charlotte Evans, AHDB's Head of Knowledge Exchange for Pork, was the co-host on the second day of the event. Paul Harris is also with us, along with Alex Haig and Nick Lawson. Hello all, welcome to the podcast. To start off with, though, I'll hand over to Charlotte, who will give us a bit more information about the speakers and their background.
I'm Charlotte Evans, Head of Engagement for Pork. We've just had our biannual Pigs Tomorrow conference. We had 2 days a couple of weeks ago. First day was International Outlook, where we looked at what was going on internationally on the pig scene. And then day two, looking at reputation and promoting our sector for that innovation conference. Had some brilliant speaker lineups, and they've all had such great feedback from the people that attended the conference. And I'm really, really pleased that we've got a couple of those on this podcast this morning. So we have Paul Harris from Real Success, who champions people as the most important asset within our pig business. We've got Alex Hay, Technical Coordinator for JSR Farms, who spoke about the work that JSR are doing on the sustainability elements, which we know, of course, are really, really critical to our consumers and people that work on our pig farms. And then we have Nick Lawson, who attended as a delegate, who's representing Russell Row Farms, but also the Pig Industry Scholarship Scheme, which Nick has been involved in now for many years. So really pleased to have everybody with us this morning to share some of the topics of conversation and discussion that we had a couple of weeks ago.
Charlotte, there was a bit of a change of gear on day two. Tell us about that.
What we wanted to do on day two this year was to focus on reputation and promoting the industry. So what we wanted to do was to look at consumer perspective first and foremost as to what consumers are looking for when they purchase pork products and things that are really, really important to them, as well as people that work within our industries. So that's why we spoke a lot about people and health, welfare, and sustainability.
Paul Harris, let me bring you in now. You spoke at the conference and you introduced this theme of 10 foundation stones. Tell us more.
Sure, yeah, thank you. Good morning and hello, good afternoon, good evening, depending on what time you're listening to it. I'm Paul Harris, the CEO of and founder of Real Success Limited. I was delighted to be asked to speak, actually. I briefly spoke to, really directly to producers, about what can they do on their own farm to improve the reputation and attractability, if that's the right word, for people to come and work in our sector, being the fact that labour is a challenge for people and finding people. So I gave a 10-point plan, really, what I call my foundation stones, which I'll rattle through very quickly for you. 10 things that producers in particular, but beyond that, we can also consider it, what you can do to attract people to come and work in our sector. And when you've got them, once you've recruited them, how do you retain them within your business? So I gave 10 factors. The first one was, how do we speak about our industry? You know, in terms of the reputation of your farm or our industry, do we speak positively or are we moaners and complainers? That's often the first thing we can change. Are we online? Are we pushing back against some of the negative narrative? When you're recruiting, particularly for labour, actually finding that people will tend to look online for jobs. Are you online? Can I find you? What's your online footprint? Ties. Do we make our adverts positive? You know, I sometimes see adverts which are not really making the job of working on a pig farm particularly positive. So making sure that our adverts are good. Being keen and open to feedback on animal welfare, you know, driving for those top standards on animal welfare is also something that's going to attract people to work on your farm. Other things are, if you provide housing, that's an incredible benefit in this industry. And sometimes we don't shout loud enough about the fact that we can provide housing. It's got to be in good condition, of course. You know, I always say, if you wouldn't put your family in a housing that you're providing or caravan, then don't expect a member of staff to. And then other things were working conditions. And often we have an amusing conversation when I'm speaking from platform about the inability of the industry to provide a working toilet on the farm. You know, have a look at, you know, your farm as to what are the working conditions for the staff? What's the staff room like? What are the staff facilities? I use this phrase, if it's going to the tip, take it to the tip. Don't put it in your staff room. A few more things, four more things. Working hours. We've got to get the work-life balance right. If we're going to attract people into the industry and want to work for us, we can't have this idea of we can work 100 hours a week and that's okay. We need to be competitive on salary and pay, but look outside the box. You know, what people are not always looking for more money. It might be time off. And the final three things were really, what's the first impression people get when we arrive at your farm? Is it, you know, broken down machinery littered down the farm driveway? Is it a sign hanging off? You know, when you're first meeting someone to interview, have you had a wash? Are you clean? Are you dressed? Is there somewhere nice to sit and do the interview? First impressions count, as we know. And then training. People often say to me, there's no point in investing in training because people just leave. What a waste of money. That was, and I said on my talk, but what happens if you don't invest in training and people stay? You end up with the people who are untrained. So it's far better to invest, and that will encourage people to stay. And the last thing I said was the importance of communication, learning about your people and learning about the different personality styles, because ultimately that is what people will, the main reason for people leaving a farm is not because of working conditions or animal welfare or anything like that. It's often because the way the boss speaks to them. So those are my 10 points, with the absolute critical final one that wraps it all together being learning to communicate.
Communication is key. And Paul, I know you've got a strong view about the quality of the relationship that exists between staff and their manager. Just tell us a bit more around that, if you would.
It is just doing simple things regularly, talking to people in a way they want to be spoken to, not in the way that you want to be spoken to. I don't mean in manners and respect, I mean in style. Some people want to be spoken to in a particular way, and it isn't just the way that we like to be spoken to. So learning how to communicate effectively, to me, is the absolute biggest one. It's why it wraps around everything. There is no point in having, again, a snazzy staff room if you don't talk to your staff in the right way. You know, so all of these are interconnected.
So, Alex, hey, let's just turn to you now, because you're responsible for reducing the carbon footprint in the pig farm business. Just share some of the sort of strategies that you've implemented and your kind of journey towards a more sustainable future.
Yeah, morning, everybody. So my name's Alex. I'm the technical coordinator for JSR. And like Paul, I was really happy to be asked to talk at Pigs Tomorrow. It's the first event that I've done like that. And it was really great to share what we're doing as a business, how we're working towards sustainability and the progress that we're making towards a more sustainable future for our farming business. So we have a lot of different areas that we've looked at into what we can do to be a more sustainable company. Being a genetics company, we are constantly improving in our genetics, and there's many different traits that we can improve on to lead to a lower carbon footprint, such as an improved growth rate, reducing our FCR. We reach finishing weights a lot more quickly than we used to now, so we're using a lot less feed, and we're doing a lot of feed trials as well, so we're reducing the protein content, trying to get our footprint a little bit lower. We have the ability to weigh all of our finisher pigs, which is a really good thing for us, and maximising the efficiency and reaching the on the slaughter contracts as well. One of the biggest things we've done is we've audited all of our sites across the company to identify where we're wasting energy. We've started to install energy monitors. We can look at all the buildings on all of the farms, and we've really reduced our energy usage. We utilise a lot of renewable energy. We have two. From the arable perspective, we're not just a pig company, we have a lot of arable land as well, which definitely works in our favour towards reducing our carbon footprint. We can utilise all of the pig manure that we produce back onto the crops, reducing our reliance on artificial fertiliser as well. And it definitely has a lower footprint, and it can produce some really good yields as well. And then the biggest thing we've done in more recently is on wildlife conservation. We've started to create a lot of habitats, encouraging the biodiversity that we already have, but bringing back some species that we've maybe not seen for quite a long time. So we have a wildlife survey every June, and we can see what we're bringing back in. We're putting hedgerows back in, and we have pollination strips. And then we've built recently a quality chalk stream sanctuary, putting many different species of trees, grapes for wading species, wildflowers. And it's just created a bit of a haven for wildlife and the surrounding biodiversity. And that's what I touched on. And then we're doing other trials, such as we have a slurry additive trial that we're looking at, reducing ammonia and increasing the nutrient content of slurry that we then put back on the fields. And we're just continuing to do things in an efficient way and to try and get towards net zero and increasing our production efficiency and self-sufficiency and sustainability.
Alex, achieving change is not straightforward, and getting people to alter habits in order to become a more sustainable business, that requires a lot of effort, doesn't it?
We found that from a labour perspective, a lot of our staff say they do things how they do it because they always have. That's how they've been trained to work. They don't necessarily work in a sustainable fashion. When we've audited all of our sites, we've made sure that staff are involved. Things that have come out of the audits, we've tried to involve them in the points that have come out of everything. And we welcome people's input, I guess. We welcome people's suggestions for what we can do in the future. And that's really helped people feel more involved in what we are trying to do for the future. We've found that we need not necessarily a small team on everywhere. We don't want to cut corners, but we have an efficient team in every section of the business. Everybody has to work together. The environmental skit, such as the chalk stream sanctuary, all of our staff can use on a lunchtime in their breaks. It increases people's happiness just on a lunchtime. If you can go for a walk out in an area that's absolutely thriving with wildlife, it's a really great place to go just down at lunchtime. And it creates a place that people want to work in. You go back and they definitely have a more productive afternoon if you've been and had a really nice lunchtime walk. And whilst it's good for our staff, it's good for the company as well. It's really, really helping us work towards our sustainable vision. We have a training academy, a JSR academy. So we bring in young people into the industry. They're trained for a period of time, and that definitely gets a lot of young people into the industry, and they can voice their opinions. They can voice what they would like to learn, how they'd like to learn it. And they have a 12-month period where they can learn every part of the business. And that's really good. And we get a lot of good feedback from that. And then a lot of them go on to stay in the company. And we also run a management course. So as young people come into the business, every year we run a management development course, it's called, and people go on that. You go on once I think there's maybe like 8 people go on it a year, and that runs every year. And it makes you feel more valued by the company. That on board every year, we take people's feedback on board. And you can tell that people really do value the fact that they've been invested in and that they feel like they're a part of the company and they're there to stay.
Nick Lawson, and just let me remind you, he's head of HR at Rattle Row. So, Nick, what's your view of the discussions that happened at the event?
Yeah. Hi there, Nick Nick Lawson from Rattle Row Farms. My job within our business is very much on the HR side, and my background has been in recruitment of staff predominantly prior to coming to Rattle Row, and inevitably ways of retaining staff as well within our organisation. Just to touch on what Paul was saying, and certainly one of my take home messages that he's just echoed now as well, was how people don't necessarily leave companies, people leave the managers that they're working underneath. And I'm a massive believer in that being, for me personally, in my experience, one of the main things that you have to get right as an organization. And if you can get the people right, i.e. the manager right, then the rest will follow after that. So when I onboard new staff, a huge amount of what I try to do is to find people that fit the manager that I have on that unit and the team that they're going to be managing. Now, that might mean I do not select the most experienced person for the job. However, if I know I can provide the training and the support that that person needs to bring them up to practice and up to speed, I find that it means that we'll get to the end goal of having the top performance, and also bring in the longevity of that team without me having to rehire in the next 6, 12, 18 months or 2 years. So for me, the way I do that is I'm extremely thorough with each individual team I'm hiring for. So we've got over 50 different farms. So you could argue that's 50 different teams that we look for people for. And on all of those individual farms, I actually know a lot of the guys firsthand anyway. I'm very ingrained in them and what they do day to day, just by going on farms and interacting. So I have a good idea of how they work and how they operate. But I treat each individual manager as their own individual person. So when I'm looking for a candidate, it's about finding that person that fits them. So every recruitment process I run is about a 4-stage process. And from discussing with Paul, there is an extra level I could put in there in terms of personality profiling, which is what we were discussing at the conference the other day. So for me, that's one of the key take homes that I took from what Paul was saying. Once you've got the people in the company, it's then about retaining those people, because what's the point? You might have found what I would call an absolute rock star in the pig world, but if they leave you after 3 months, what was the point? And that's, you know, that means you've got to make sure everything's working. So we do a lot on the training side. We do a lot of internal training. So we have a number of workshops that we conduct internally, and we also do a lot of external training as well through companies like AHDB, which have supported us really, really well in terms of getting people that extra bit of experience that they need and they require. We also do a lot of bonuses and rewards as well, based on performance. For us, career progression is important, and that's also a big motivator for retaining staff. So if you're going to get them to stay with you for 3, 6, 9, 12 years, it's about rewarding people over that period of time to try and retain them. So that's another key thing that we've really spent a lot of time making sure over time we try and keep these people. So yeah, that's the basics of what I've taken from the day and what I guess we've done as a quick overview.
What role do people play, Nick, in reducing carbon emissions?
So I took that question away. For me, it's all about efficiencies. You can hire the right people and they are doing their job efficiently, then that's a key way of helping to reduce carbon emissions and get the job done in the most efficient way. Our business has a lot of different areas to it as well to try and tackle that problem and that challenge. And you know, about 7 years ago, we invested in a biogas plant. We feed with pig manure, other things like chicken muck, other things like renewable crops, to create methane gas, which we then burn off, and that creates energy to go back into the grid. So we've taken the renewable side very seriously. You've obviously got to have the people at the top to run such a thing. So that's been an important part for us. We also do solar power panels on the sides of our buildings as well. Similar to what Alex was discussing on the day as well, we also do invest in planting a lot of trees and making sure we're trying to offset our carbon emissions in that sort of way. So as a business, Rattleroe, we've tried to do quite a few different things. We also, as a company, specialise in the genetic side, and similar to what Alex would say, efficiencies are enormously made by the animals and the genetics and how fast you can get them through your systems to be able to be more carbon neutral.
Paul's eager to get back in. So Paul, the floor is yours.
I think just on the efficiency side, which I think is a really good point that Nick's just made, it's the connection between emotions and efficiency when you're talking about staff. So happy people, we know, are more efficient than unhappy people. People who feel valued, motivated, respected, have got good working conditions, and as Alex and Nick have said, feel they're being invested in and trained, their emotions, they're likely to feel happier. And we know if we feel happier and more content, we'll just generally do our work more efficiently and more effectively. So alongside all the practical steps you can make on the farm for sustainability, it's recognising all the things that Nick and Alex have said, particularly around training and investment, that make people feel they're valued, and that will transfer simply into doing a better job, working that slightly a little bit harder, you know, more aligned with what you're seeking to achieve. So it's that connection between creating an environment of positive emotion that drives directly into personal efficiencies as well. Just wanted to make that point alongside what Nick was saying.
Keeping it positive, Paul, that's what helps, isn't it?
We often do talk about all the things that are not working. We complain and moan, but actually the opportunities for people in this industry are vast. They're huge. Mm. The salaries can be really good. Yeah. The working conditions, if they're done right, listening to Alex talking about her company and what they're doing and having your lunch in an area where you can look at animals and plants and stuff is just awesome. That's not happening in the back. That's not happening at the back of Tesco's. You know, you can't go out the back of Tesco's and you know, walk in fields. So I think you're right. We need, as all of us, both in the industry and suppliers and consultants, if we all just talked more positively about agriculture, that would be a huge benefit too.
Does anybody have anything that they want to add to that?
Yeah, my whole recruitment structure isn't about hiring people with experience. That's not really what I look for. I look for the people that have work ethic, that fit the team culture, and they want career progression, all those sorts of things. But they're people who've come from other industries and this is new to them. As long as they have that mindset that farming is a way of life, you know, that then they're the type of people in that. But we have to find people from outside and put them into this environment, and that comes down to what Paul was saying, what Alex has said, with what JSR are doing, and it all very much links together. So from attracting them to running the right recruitment process, to then retaining them, but to find those people, they're probably not the guys who are in farming at the moment, they're elsewhere, and we've got to find ways of casting that line and reeling them in.
Yeah, we have people join our academy that have never worked in agriculture before, and it's there as an introduction to the industry. You can come from anywhere and we'll give you the same level of training as anybody. I mean, I came straight after uni. Yes, I came from an agricultural based degree and had a year out in, well, sheep and dairy specifically. But I came into a pig industry because it's such an up and coming industry as well for younger people. There's such a lot to do now, especially on sustainability. I mean, we're looking at things every day of what we can do, and it's great to be able to be a part of it.
Train and retain is a bit of a mantra of yours, I know, Charlotte. So for the progress of the industry to continue, the work doesn't stop.
So within the industry, there's a huge amount of brilliant work being done, looking at improving health, improving welfare of the pigs that we look after. and improving the environment as well for those animals. And I think what we've heard on the podcast today, but also the Pigs Tomorrow conference a couple of weeks ago, it's just a huge amount of progress being made in all those areas. And it's such a positive place to work. And what I think the speaker's done today is to really demonstrate how, on top of that, what we can do to make sure that we're attracting good people from sometimes outside of agriculture, sparking their interest, matching them up to the teams that we have in place and the skill sets that we're looking at, and making sure that we train them and we retain them for the future. And there's plenty of things that can help you do that. From an AHDB perspective, we have an HR toolkit, which you can help in terms of a checklist with new starters. There's also training programs from new entrants via the Stockman Development Scheme all the way through to our Agri Leader, which is more about management and owners within the sector, and our labour life cycle content that can help you every step of the way.
Many thanks to our guests for sparing the time to come onto the podcast. Really interesting to hear everybody's views. Thank you very much. If you've got any comments about this podcast or ideas for future episodes, we would really like to hear from you. You may like to be a guest because you've got something interesting to say to levy payers. And if that's the case, then please do get in touch. You can email foodandfarming@ahdb.org.uk. AHDB really do want to hear from you. This podcast was produced by Dami Oyinlola. Stay safe, stay well. I'm John Bates. Thanks for listening.